The Lord is with us to instruct us, bless us, and bring us into His perfect will for our lives. Before I start the message, I just wanted to tell you what He said to me tonight. He said, I will do miracles and wonders at the hands of my insignificant little brides. That's beautiful. Today is October the 2nd, 2015. And I want to say we've seen three healings since the healing message came out a day ago or so, or 2 days ago. We've had several reports of healings that just happened spontaneously with a simple little prayer. And you're going to love this teaching because it really debunks all the mystery behind healing. The Lord is really tired of people making some kind of mystery out of healing and making it, making it so that you have to be someone or have something special to be able to be used in healing. He's really, really torn that facade down. So as I read the responses to the Lord's teachings on healing, I've got to tell you, I'm in the same boat you guys are in. And that is that I'm feeling a certain trepidation or fear about stepping out to exercise this gift. And at the same time, I'm feeling an indignation rising up inside of me. Like, what has Satan done to this? This was such a simple thing. How has he complicated it and made it so remote to most people? And I wasn't sure what this was all about until now, really. This indignation. And Jesus began, my brides, you indeed have been duped. You have been sold a bill of goods that those who operate in the gift of healing are special or chosen singularly for that. Nothing could be further from the truth. Even in the first years of the church, healing was extremely common among believers without the intervention of an apostle. My spirit dwelt richly with my people who believed in me to the point of being threatened with death. Virtue in those days was also far more common than it is today. But the bill of goods is that you have to be someone spiritual, some spiritual hotshot for healings to manifest. This is all part of the corruption of a Hollywood-molded society where showmanship, glitter, and glamour are modeled to the people, a corrupted form of Christianity. Tell them about your experience, Claire. Well, I'm not sure how it all fits together, but he asked me to tell you, so I will. I was attending a church in Phoenix, and this was right after I was converted, probably about 28 years ago or so. And a very well-known man with a growing and famous healing ministry came to Phoenix to preach in this church. When we went and picked him up at the airport, in fact, the pastor sent us out there. And he ministered in the church, and of a church of maybe, I don't know, 800 people at the time. And I was amazed at what happened, really. There was so much drama and so much workup, you know, so much, you might almost call it hysteria, but not quite. Someone behind me was healed of blindness in one eye, and I knew she was for real because she didn't want to go up and claim her healing and share what the Lord had done for her. I finally convinced her, though, to go up at the very last minute, but I knew she wasn't a plant because of the way she resisted that altar call. But I just couldn't see Jesus acting that way. The healings, yes. The drama just didn't seem to be like the Sermon on the Mount or even Jesus' sermon at Simon Peter's when the paraplegic was healed. It troubled me. 15 years later, it so happened that we were invited to be on his show on a taping in Los Angeles, and we were able to share some things with him about our faith walk, which was really different at the time when we were living up in the wilderness. But I had to go into prayer for this particular man, and I went into interceding, and I very quickly turned from just praying to grieving and I felt so very sick to my stomach and very nauseated, and a deep grief came over me. And the reason was the man had the gift of healing, but also lived like a king. And when he went to foreign countries and presented himself with a gift in that way, the Lord told me he was teaching people that the healing gift equals money. If you want to be rich, a rich Christian, it'll happen if you have a healing ministry. I can't begin to describe the level of nausea the Lord allowed me to experience at this perversion of the faith. You know, and it wasn't necessarily his fault. He's a good man. He just had the money, so he lived that way. But the problem is, living that way presented an example in third world countries that was very corrupting, made a wide open door for materialism and avarice to just grab hold of an aspiring Christian and completely twist the direction that he's to go in his life. You know, we can't serve mammon and God. We have to make a choice. At this point, the Lord cut back in and he said, and this has been the norm, and one of the reasons I will not have another revival centralized around a man, for the corruption at those events knows no boundaries. Yes, it is wonderful when believers get together, but it is also an occasion of sin. It becomes a PR event rather than a gathering of believers to worship me and receive healing. The kind of revival that is occurring now is hidden, one-on-one in families and small groups, branching out to those who have suffered unspeakable terrors at the hands of ISIS. There is no superstar evangelist build for a nation that is so used to worshiping the rich and famous. Now I want to get down to business, my people. Healing is for anyone who wants it. I exclude no one. If you want the gift badly enough, you'll seek me until it manifests. Of course, it is my choice, but I will not deny you the gifts unless they'd be dangerous for you to have at this stage of your life. In that case, they're merely delayed or not in operation yet, and there was a good reason for that. This is what is meant for you, my brides. I live inside of you. My spirit dwells with you. My Father makes his habitation in you as well. Scripture has it that anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. That's John 14:23. And the Lord continued with Scripture. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's Mark 16. I did not say only those anointed to heal. I did not say only those in ministry. What I did say is that if you believe, these signs will accompany you. Please put an end to the hero worship and the false notion that only called out souls can perform healings in my name. There are a lot of sick people in this world. I do not wish to lay any other burden on them. Going to coliseums, big gatherings, convention centers, all the hubbub, money for travel, motels, and the like. I did not establish my kingdom on superheroes, but on the ordinary, everyday men and women, just like you. The only difference is some seek me, and others seek me until they find me. And there the Lord quoted Scripture again, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart, Matthew 7:7. But alas, many grow weary in well-doing and lay down along the way, making excuses that they don't have the gift. It's there. It just requires you to rekindle it the way I want you to. And this is what I'm getting at. You don't need fanfare. You don't need loud and passionate tongues. You don't need any pretensions at all. All you need is one sick person and a believer, and that equals a miracle. And again, the Lord quoted scripture. He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. That's Acts 10:38. Write this out as a formula for you to remember. One sick person plus one believer equals one miracle. Let me say that one more time. One sick person plus one believer equals one miracle. That is a formula that I'm giving you that is all that is ever necessary for a healing to take place. What could be more simple and straightforward than that? Let's examine that for a moment. One sick person. I didn't say one sick person with the faith to believe, because I will send you to the unbelievers to heal them that they might believe. And again, he quoted scripture. Now, while Jesus was in Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover, many people believed in his name because they saw the miraculous signs he was doing. That's John 2:23. There will be times when the faith of the person you are praying for draws down my mercy, and you are simply there as a symbol of my presence. There will be times when you feel led to remind them of my mercy. In each situation, my spirit is with you and directing you. Another reason why tuning into me and tuning out the world is so important. The more you are receiving from me, the more easily you will be guided. But if you have a lot of worldly chaos going around in your mind, my voice is drowned out. So this preparation of quiet and listening to me is important. So you have one sick person, with or without faith. Next, you have one believer. You know who I am. You know I dwell inside of you. You know I am merciful. You know I am sending you out to pray over people to be healed. This should give you the confidence to step forward and reveal to them who I am. You see, it's not about you at all. It's about me and who I am. I am asking you, dear ones, if you love me, make me known to others. Not by words that are cheap, but by deeds of mercy. Oh, I can hear some of you now. Look, that evil spirit is telling her not to use words. I've got to laugh, really. You're truly amusing to me. What I am saying is that anybody can, and anybody has, talked about me. But how many have demonstrated my power? As Paul said, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. I want to break here. Wow, guys, Paul came to preach in weakness and fear and trembling. Do you see? We're just like him. We too come in weakness and fear. Isn't it amazing? The Prince of Apostles is revealing that he's no different than any of us. He stepped out in fear too. This should give us courage. We're in good company after all. Jesus continued, let Paul's fear be a good lesson to you, that you also can overcome your fear of man and flesh. How many of you have faced stonings on my behalf? Have you suffered to the point of shedding blood? What is a little ridicule? You must get to the point where that soul's eternity is more important to you than losing face. Besides, I may very well turn right around and perform a miracle in your midst. Not something you conjured up with fanfare and drum rolls. Not something you prayed up loud and boisterously. Not anything other than the invisible intention that I should have mercy on that person. in other words, a prayer. My mother simply looked at me and said, "Son, they have no wine. All you need to do is look to me in your heart and say, 'Lord, this soul is suffering. Do you think I can take a hint? Or do you think I need to conjure up an atmosphere of faith?'" An atmosphere of faith can be a wonderful thing, but more often than not, you will be exposed to opportunities every day for me to manifest my power and heal the person standing next to you in line. So now we come to the miracle. So how does the miracle manifest? It just happens. 1 + 2 = 3. One moment the person is sick or in pain, the next moment the pain is gone. No lightning flashes, no cymbals crashing, no announcements over the microphone. He or she is just simply healed. Or you may even walk away from that person while they're still in pain, and the next day they could be perfectly healed, and the healing happened in very subtle stages. Do you see? Man has made it much more complicated because of Satan's influence than I ever meant it to be. There is still much more to this teaching, but I want to stop here, and I want you to begin very small. Your mother has a headache. Ask her if you can pray for her. Let's see what Jesus will do. Lay your hands on her head and simply ask me, "Please remove her pain." Keep your attention on that for a while. You don't have to speak those words out loud at all. I can hear you quite well in your heart and mind. Keep your attention on that for a while and then release her to me. If she doesn't feel anything immediately, ask her in 15 minutes how is she feeling. If she's feeling a bit better, lay hands on her again. There's no shame in that. Didn't I provide you with an example? And he reminded me of Mark 8. And some people brought to him a blind man and begged for him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on the eyes again. And he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. That's Mark 8:22. I want you to know, my brides, that you are truly a flock after my own heart. I am so pleased with the long way you have come in several very short months. And before I take you with me to heaven, you will have grown even more. Just continue to listen as little children. Do not allow the enemy to complicate or lie to you and make healing in my name seem difficult or over your heads. Don't allow him to sow confusion. I'm making it so simple for you. Remember, only 3 things are needed for a healing. 1 sick person, 1 believer equals 1 miracle. 1 sick person plus 1 believer equals 1 miracle. That's all that's necessary. Lock these words away in your heart and bring them to mind the next time you have an opportunity to touch someone for me.